Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday. So happy to be back here in front of this microphone. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And just before I went on the air, Chris, who runs the IT department here at Catholic Answers, says, if you're going to have to resurrect people from the dead to get a better lineup than you've got today. That's what we would have to do. That's how good our lineup is today. And I'm so happy that we do, because it's disturbing times. It's troubling times. And we've got two guys who can help us through these troubling times. The second hour, we've got Dr. Scott Hahn with us. And you are familiar with the biblical writings of Dr. Hahn, and he's got some political writing out now. As a matter of fact, a new book called It's Right and Just, Why the Future of Civilization Depends on True Religion. And man, you couldn't be more timely than coming out with this book right now. And this is among the things that I just couldn't be more thrilled about the 2 hours we've got today, because we've really got to talk about these things. And for us here at Catholic Answers, we're not a news show. We're not a politics show. But when there's big news and big politics like there's been lately, it's very, very fortunate when we are able to turn to someone like Dr. Scott Hahn to talk about the role that religion plays in building a civilization, because we are a civilization in trouble at the moment. I don't think that you would disagree with that we are a civilization in trouble. All right, so that's second hour. But first hour, we have, I don't know if officially he's the most popular person on earth, but he's the most popular person on the internet. And we're going to talk about how to read the Bible with Father Mike Schmitz this hour. Father Mike Schmitz, in case you don't know, if you're the one person left on earth who doesn't know about the great work he's doing, he's the director of youth and young adult ministry for the Diocese of Duluth. He's the chaplain for the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth. That's the Bulldogs. And he does Ascension Presents. That's primarily where I think most people probably know him from. And now he's got a brand new thing that he's doing, the Bible in a Year. And the Bible in a Year, this makes me so happy. It feels like the moment has met the man. We've all known that Father Mike Schmitz is a superstar. But this moment needs something special. And this year, he decided to do the Bible in a Year. And it's the most popular podcast in the world. Not like the most popular Catholic podcast. It's number one. And even the National Review Magazine, I was just reading their review of what Father Mike is doing. And they wrote this: it's hard to understand this popularity as anything but a blazing sign of hope. And boy, do we need that hope. Father Mike Schmitz, welcome. I'm so happy you're here with us.
Thanks. Sorry for kind of logging in a little late, later than
Oh, that's fine. No, you're a superstar. Scott Hahn will wait until 5 minutes after that. When you're the bigger star you are, the later you can log on.
that's false. Oh, man. No, that's awesome. Isn't it like incredible that how many people are wanting to read the Bible right now, or just wanting to get through it? And I think, like you said, like the moment, I don't know about meeting the man, but the moment meeting like the need, like so much. Oh, my gosh. I mean, for myself, the reason why I even had this on my heart since last spring, maybe last winter or spring, kind of, yeah, I don't know. Might have coincided with a certain event that happened on a global scale.
Yeah.
I just like, no, I listen to everything. Like I read books with my ears. I listen to podcasts, your show, the YouTube, all these things. It's just like, I just listen and listen. I'm like, I just want to listen to God's word is what I really want more than anything. And so I think that there's just a lot of people who want the same thing.
It makes me so happy. I really do think, I mean, I know you're a modest person and you know, I think that's much to your credit, but I do think you've built up a following of people who trust you on the internet to tell them the truth. And and the truth is really good news, really good news. See, there was a lot of times we think, oh, he's a real truth teller. That means he makes everyone, you know, miserable. No, the truth is great news, and people trust you to tell it. And I'm so glad you're doing the Bible in a Year.
Yeah, no, thank you. That means a lot. I you know, it's one of those things, just kind of as almost maybe a sidebar, maybe to preface all that we're talking about is I have gotten a number of texts or messages from people who, whether they're close to me, like family members or people I've never met, they just say, hey, neat what you're doing. Don't let it go to your head, that kind of thing. And I'm like, my thought is, I'm like, I'm literally just reading the Bible. Like it's kind of basically all that I'm doing. I mean, there's a little commentary, but even the commentary stuff is I'm getting from geniuses. Like I'm getting from people who, I mean, some of it comes out of a fruit of prayer for myself, but so much of it is my own study, Dr. Hahn or Dr. Brant Petrie and other people who are just incredible. And so I'm like, my contribution is I'm reading the Bible. I don't think it could go to my head. Anyways.
Well,
so.
Yeah, right. That's right. But I mean, I suppose that's how all of us really should feel about it. I mean, God doesn't need us to get
right,
done what
absolutely.
He wants to get done. But he's gracious enough to let us play our part. And right. I'm happy. I just feel so happy that, like, everybody here at Catholic Answers, Carrie here was going around the other day, guess what the number one podcast in the world is, you know?
Yeah.
Just so excited because this is what we spend our lives doing is trying to get people to come close to God. And
right.
and it, so many people clearly want to. I feel fired up about it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's and so I even got a text from one of my older sisters, and she had been, gosh, what was her birthday's in April, and she for her birthday her daughter bought her a Great Adventure Bible, and she had asked me, my sister Amy, she asked me, she said, so what do you recommend, any Bible studies, or how do I get through this? And I was like, actually, Amy, the best Bible study that I've ever been part of was the Great Adventure Bible Timeline. And so she and her husband were going through it, but they hit this log jam where it's like, okay, gosh, well, I have to read through this whole book and I kind of get lost. And wow, that seems out of place. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the Bible that if it's kind of like your first time reading it, you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What, you know, what happened? Because we're so accustomed to the Bible as it's told to children. You know, if we have people telling us Bible stories, we think they're all Bible stories and not like, oh, this was messy. And this was not like, wait, that's the hero? The hero did something bad? Like, yeah, the hero did something really bad.
Like Abraham did this week on your podcast. Come on, Abraham, get your act together. And I know that a lot of people, we think because we've read the letter to the Hebrews that Abraham is this great exalted figure.
Right? Yeah.
But Abraham did some bad things. And you're gonna keep coming up against that in the Bible.
Yeah, exactly. And so the great thing is, so she texted yesterday and she said, you know, I'm really grateful for what you're doing. And she said, I just pray that people stick through the whole Old Testament in some of those trickier spots. And right. I'm like, yeah, that's right, Amy. And she said, and also thanks for the guidance, you know, like the context, because that's a thing too. It's like, you know, for myself is even like what the Ethiopian says to Philip, right? Here's the Acts of the Apostles, and here is the Ethiopian who's reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading about the suffering servant. And Philip runs up to him and says, you know what you're reading? He says, how am I supposed to understand this unless someone tells me? And I think so many of us experience that. And so kind of like you're saying, there's a proclamation of the word, so you just get to receive it, like just let it wash over you. And then hopefully my attempt is, let me give some context for that. So we just went through all of the items of the tabernacle. Okay, let's just pause. It wasn't just an itemized list that had a meaning to behind it. Or like even like, gosh, some of the parts of the Bible, like for example, in the book of Numbers, say Numbers chapter 7, as an example, I might be familiar with this one. It talks about, it's just so repetitive. And it's about how all the different tribes of Israel offered a wagon with two oxen, and then they all offered the exact same thing. And it goes through all chapter 7 goes through, and the tribe of Judah offered this, and it says the thing, and then next tribe of Nashon offered this. And it's literally the same thing for 12 times in a row.
Right.
And it's easy to get done with that chapter thinking that was a throwaway chapter.
This is the word of God.
Right. Exactly. I'm not inspired. Like, God, what do you want me to do with this? But one of the things that strikes me in that is, there are four families of Levites, right? So there's the family of Aaron, they're the priests, but then there's the Gershonites and the Merarites and the Kohathites. And these are three other families under the tribe of Levi. And those three other families were dedicated to service at the temple. They weren't priests. That's only the tribe of family of Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
But the other three families were serving the temple and serving those priests. And it says really clearly, it says that the Gershonites received, I think, like four wagons and eight oxen, and the Merarites received two wagons and four oxen, but the Kohathites didn't receive anything. And you're like, well, no, it like highlights the fact that, no, because the articles of the temple that they were responsible for were the kind that you would never put on a wagon. They're the kinds that you only can carry through the sacred, like the poles that would carry the ark, or the poles that would carry the altar of incense, or the bread of the presence. And it's like, oh my gosh, like what a small detail but it says so much. And I think for me, right. like my role in this is to be able to say, okay, pause. Did you notice this?
Right.
You mean the rest of the stuff is redundant or whatever, and maybe it is, but did you notice this? And just to be, let people realize there's so much more. There's so much more to the scripture that, well, I know personally when I've read it at times, I like literally would skip all of it. I would go, okay, looks like the same, chapter 8. And just that recognition of let's not do that. Let's for the first time, maybe for a lot of people, let's actually just let all of the word of God be proclaimed.
Yeah.
And then do our best to understand it.
Yeah. You remember one time I was talking with Jimmy Aiken, and I told him when I read Matthew and Luke's gospels, I almost always skip over the genealogies. He just looked at me. He just scowled at me. I was like, "What do you just skip over the genealogies?" I was like, no, not really. No, I read them every time. What I meant by that was I read them every time.
I mean, some people out there I've heard of sometimes skip over the genealogies. I would never do that.
Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. The Bible in a Year is what he's doing. And I'm really glad we got him on early in January so you won't feel intimidated about joining. Everybody else on earth has joined. If you want to do the Bible in a Year, do it with Father Mike Schmitz. Just type in Father Mike Schmitz. It's got a Z in it, but you can even misspell his name and you'll get to him. And then and just put in the Bible in a Year and do it. You're going to expose yourself to the Word of God over the course of the year, and it will bear fruit. There's no possible way to do that without it bearing fruit. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest, and you can call him to ask your questions about how to read the Bible. You struggle with your Bible reading. You'd like some help with a particular area of the Bible or about in general reading the Bible, how to pick it up and how to get through it. 888-318-7884, our number. 888-318-7884. Again, Father Mike Schmitz, our guest, if you want to talk to the most popular podcaster in the world. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. Our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, had a great 2020, and thank you for that. And we are planning to keep up the momentum throughout 2021. Unfortunately, I can't tell you on the radio what this week's episode is about. Our director of publishing, Todd Aglialoro, joins us to discuss a growing threat to our culture that's so creepy, we can't even mention it over the airwaves. Catholic Answers Focus is available wherever you get your podcasts, or watch it on YouTube, or just visit us at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing 2, The Gender Agenda.
For two centuries, the ideologues of socialism or communism have used deceptive word jugglery to rebrand themselves as liberals or progressives.
Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm always excited to get back in here and do this on a Monday. I can't remember sitting down in front of this microphone on a Monday and not feeling excited. But I got to say, I'm particularly excited this Monday. We are a civilization, a society in need, and a couple men who can really help us reflect on what we need and also help us get what we need. Scott Hahn's going to be here the second hour. We're going to talk about his new book, It Is Right and Just, Why the Future of Civilization Depends on True Religion. You want to talk about civilization and religion second hour as we experience this difficult time in our civilization. You're welcome to call. This hour, we have Father Mike Schmitz, who devotes himself to sharing the gospel every day with young people and has done so for a long time in Minnesota and increasingly having a wide reach through social media and through efforts such as his really world-beating podcast that's just begun this year, but more people have turned to it this year than any other podcast. It's called The Bible in a Year. You can look it up and do it. You can join at any time, but why not start now and get the whole Bible in a year? Our number is 888-318-7884 if you'd like to talk with Father Mike Schmitz about maybe your difficulties reading the Bible or a particular difficulty you have in the Bible, or just to get a general idea about how to read the Bible. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. So how do you answer that question when people just say to you, Father Mike, I want to, but how do I read the Bible?
Yeah, no, that's a great, question. I think it all depends on what they want. If they're saying like, I want to get the story, and that, and this is interesting because if someone says, I want to get the story, I say, well, that's the Great Adventure Bible timeline, right? So okay. What happened is years ago, Jeff Cavins had the idea of, well, he just recognized that so many people would read Genesis 1 on January 1, and then they'd get to like, this is great. I'm following the story, and here's Exodus, and that makes sense too. And then here's Numbers. Okay. And then they hit Leviticus, and it's like, well, all these rules, I don't understand this. I lost the story. And so what he did was he was able to note that there were like, 12 periods of kind of history of the great salvation history. And then there were 14 narrative books that if you read those narrative books, you could read them without losing the story. And so one of the things that we did for this, I think the thing that makes this podcast unique or this reading plan unique is there was the idea. I just thought like, hey, let's just do download some random template of how to get through the Bible in a year and let's just do that. And Ascension people said, you know what? Let's dig in a little deeper. We have this incredible resource called the Great Adventure Bible.
Let's do a little work.
Right, exactly. I'm like, let's the easiest amount of work possible. That's my style. And I said, well, we have the Great Adventure Bible timeline and the Great Adventure Bible. Why don't we keep the narrative and let that be the skeleton that we build out everything else from? So that's what we're doing. We some people really dug in and they just spent so much time crafting. Okay, so we have the narrative, and here's where, like, for example, when we go through Exodus, okay, here's Leviticus, and we go through Numbers, okay, here's Deuteronomy, and so you have the story going along, and you also have that, not supplemental books, but that in context, you have Leviticus, and in context, you have Deuteronomy, and so it becomes like, oh, this makes sense now, I see what's going on, and one of my roles, I guess, is to be kind of like a guide and be able to know, so in kind of the third section, we get to desert wanderings. We're going to be reading through Numbers, which is the story, and also Deuteronomy, which is more rules or the second law. And so my job is to say, okay, remember, when we're reading Numbers, we're reading, this starts 13 months after they were set free from slavery in Egypt.
And when
we read Deuteronomy, this is happening 38 years after that. So in the same day, you're going to go from here's 13 months after slavery and then jump 40 years into the future or 38 years into the future. And here's Moses at the end of all that wandering saying, by the way, you're going to fail because I know you guys by now. But God's going to be faithful and he's going to love you and get you through this.
That is so helpful. And I have to say, we have a copy of the Great Adventure Bible here, the actual Bible with the, and you can never find it. Someone's always, it's who's got the, I have that at home right now. Oh, really? You have it at home. It's just wonderful. A great plan. I just hope people stay with you for the whole year. There's a bunch of people that want to ask you questions. Shall we go to take a few questions?
I might as well, I guess.
All right. Father Mike Schmitz, our guest, The Bible in a Year is the most popular podcast in the world, and you can be part of it. Just search it on the internet. If you want to talk to Father Mike Schmitz right now, just give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go to Cincinnati, Ohio. Watching on YouTube Live is Vincent. Vincent, thanks so much for being our first caller. Go ahead with your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Oh my God, I can't believe I'm able to ask my question directly to Father Mike.
It's so
pleasing to be able to do this.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, you've really helped me in my spiritual journey right from in my home country, Nigeria. And
awesome.
I just have one question right now. The people of old really lived that long? I mean, especially when we compare this, compare things to science, one would imagine that back in the day, the health system or like they didn't have that much medical aid, I would like to imagine. I mean, did people really live up to 900 or are we to take things literally?
That's a great question, Vincent. So good. No, that's awesome. And that is one of the first questions, because right at the very first chapters of the Bible, you're like, and then Methuselah walked with, you know, lived for 937 years. Like, are you sure? Or right. Even we're in the middle of right now reading the story of Abraham and Sarah. And she's like, Lord, I'm 100 years old. I don't think I should be having kids right now, or, you know, whatever, I'm past childbearing age. When we get to Moses, you know, he spends 40 years in Pharaoh's palace, 40 years in the wilderness, and then, being a shepherd, and then another 40 years leading the people of Israel. So that's, I'm not super good at math, but that sounds like roughly 120 years. And so, the great question is, like you said, can we take these literally? For example, we can go back to Genesis 1, and not to stand over scripture, I always stand underneath scripture, right? So here's what I want to clarify this, because some people, I never want to misrepresent the posture we take towards the Bible. So I never want to say this is what it is unless it's super clear that this is what it is. So during the chapter 1 of Genesis and the 6 days of creation, 1 day of rest, there are folks who say, well, here's a theory about that. And I say, okay, that's a great theory. And as long as that's within the parameters of the dogma that we have, you know, solemnly defined by the church, then you get to take an interpretation one way or another. And that's one of the biblical principles for interpretation, is provided that it doesn't contradict scripture, and provided that it doesn't contradict an article of faith, then there's opportunity to read more deeply in like a symbolic level. So we have the literal sense, and we have the figurative sense, we have the spiritual sense, the literal sense and the spiritual sense. So it could be very truly that when we're talking about the ages of those first generations of human beings, that, yeah, they were specially blessed, specially anointed with excessive life, like really long lives. And we can say that, okay, that would be a preternatural or supernatural kind of a situation, because that is, unless someone's a tortoise, they're not going to be living that long. But that also could be, we could say, if that's what the Word of God says, then it could be the case that in those exceptions, so the exceptional cases, that they literally lived that long. Just like Jesus literally rose from the dead. It wasn't like he kind of came to life in their hearts. He literally rose. And that's impossible. Exactly. It's called a miracle. So it would make sense that we could say it's within the realm of interpretation to say that when it talks about Methuselah living this long, or Moses living, you know, 120 years, no problem. That could literally be true. Question, does it have to be literally true? And there are a number of people who would speculate and say, well, there's also not only the literal sense, there's also the spiritual sense of scripture. And it could be the case that ages correspond to blessing. It could say that, I mean, this is something I was taught. Now, at the same time, I know there's people who criticize that stance and say that to merely reduce it to the spiritual sense and to ignore completely the literal sense or potential literal sense is being disingenuous to scripture. And so I don't want to do that. That's why I'm saying that it literally could be the case. And if it is, then it's a miracle. It also could be, in some ways, we have to interpret scripture. One of the principles for interpreting scripture is we try to discern the original intent of the author. So if we ascribe the writing of Genesis to Moses, then we say, okay, what was Moses' original intent? Was it to say, yeah, these guys lived that long? Okay, then hands down, literal sense. If it was to say that their ages or their ages correspond to the amount of fruitfulness they had, or the amount of blessings they had, or their even their family line kind of a thing, then great, no problem. So that's how I would respond to that, in the sense of we simply can't contradict scripture, and we're also not just going to wipe it away or wash it away or whitewash it because it is inconvenient or because it challenges and makes us have faith. Because obviously we need to have faith as we approach scripture. But again, I start with the first principle of I don't stand over scripture and say this couldn't be the case or it must be the case. I have to stand under scripture and say, okay, Lord, you teach me, because, and what the church has taught me is that this variable could be literal. If so, it's supernatural, or it could be spiritual, in which case it also teaches me, or it could be both. So that's how I would respond, Vincent. I don't want to have a poor response or too shaky or flimsy. So I want to kick back to Cy and ask if he has anything more to add to that one.
No, I don't. I'm not going to add to the most popular podcaster in the world. Are you kidding
me?
I
can still be wrong, though. That's
no,
the thing.
Vincent, I hope, was that a satisfying answer to you? Because I felt very satisfied with it, especially the part about it's perfectly possible that God could do these things. That's not hard for God to do. I mean, you can make a universe. You can make Methuselah live 930 years. But there are also other possibilities, and we can respectfully engage with the Bible and also respect that there are other possibilities. What do you think, Vincent?
I think it makes some sense. But the thing is, there's the additional part where I still get a little bit confused. You know, there's a part where the Bible actually did at some point say, okay, because the wickedness of men became like grew widely, and then God actually said, okay, no one's going to live beyond 120. So yeah. it actually gives me that interpretation that it was actually people literally did live that long. And so because of the sins of men, God said, okay, we're going to stop this. So sometimes I struggle to reconcile this form of reasoning to to science and stuff like that. So,
Vincent, we'll let Father hit this once more when we come back on the other side. But there's no conflict between science and miracles. A miracle means an exception to the laws of nature because of God's great divine power. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll address that.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being here with us on this Monday. And I'm using teasing language to talk with Father Mike and calling him the most popular guy on the internet and all that. But it is a genuine sign of hope and so many good things that the Bible in a Year is the most popular podcast in the new year. I genuinely do believe that. So we're delighted to have Father Mike Schmitz here. If we can encourage more and more people to do the Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. I think there's very few services more valuable to render than to help people read the Word of God. I want to finish up with what Vincent was saying about, he kind of accepts what you said about there's different possible ways of reading this, but also struggles with, are we contradicting science by saying a man lived right. to be more than 900 years old?
Right, and that's it's so good because, and you, like you had mentioned as we went to the break, science is the pursuit of truth, and faith is in many ways the pursuit of truth. I mean, you can say that it's, a lot of times we believe that truth has found us, but we'll say it like that. The science is the pursuit of natural truth, And faith is a pursuit of supernatural truth. And one of the things we know just by ontology, by philosophy, by whatever, is that truth cannot contradict truth. And so scientific truth can never contradict truths of the faith. If they do contradict, it's either one of two things. One is that either the scientific truth or the supernatural truth is incorrect. It's not really true. Or it's only an apparent contradiction. And so that's what we have to like get kind of down to it, because right. Science is answering a different question than faith is answering. Science is answering the question oftentimes of what and how. So what is this? How did it get here? Faith is answering the question who and why, like who made it and why did they make it? Same kind of thing, like when it comes to like human beings, a lot of times it's like a what and how, like what is biology and how does it work? And then the question we ask as human persons, though, is like, but science can't answer the question, but who are you and why are you? And so that's one of the things that we have to get into. And also Vincent's question was so good because, again, it does highlight the principles for biblical interpretation, which is we have to understand before everything else, do our best at least, to understand what was the original intent of the author.
Yeah. Right.
And if we understand what was the original intent of the author, then we can say, like, for example, goes back to Genesis 1 through 11, with Genesis 1 through 11, which is a prehistory. And so when we talk about some of these numbers, when we talk about some of these events, we're realizing we're talking about prehistory, which also means, doesn't mean this, but it also includes this prehistory is poetic history. And then you switch over to history when we hit Genesis chapter 12 and we meet Abram and Sarai. That those first 11 chapters are a poetic history or a poetic telling of life before history existed. And so we interpret it according to that understanding of the genre. And one last thing, or maybe two last things, if you don't mind. Because a lot of times whenever I bring up the idea of like genre, interpretation and genre, people will say, well, wait a second, how do you know that Genesis 1 through 11 is like meant to be understood poetically and Genesis 12 to the end
right.
is meant to be understood historically? Like, are you just picking and choosing? What's going on here? And I love this because we do that. We automatically do this in our modern day and age. And here's my example. My example is, I remember the very first episode of The Office that I ever watched. So the American TV show,
yeah.
The Office. I remember I was at the rectory. I was living at a different church. I was at a different parish. And I remember I was in my room and I turned on the TV and I was standing there and I was watching one of the episodes and I'd never heard of this show before. And everything was telling me from the screen was this is a documentary. Like all this setup, you know, like having the talking heads, having the interviews with the people and like this kind of steady, you know, shaky cam and like no laugh track. Like everything said, this is a documentary, but I know what documentaries are like.
Yeah.
And after I watched it for a while, I realized, oh, I can tell the difference between a documentary and this show because you know what to look for, right? And so similarly, when you get to know scripture deeper and deeper, more deeply and understand it more, oh, this is clearly poetry. Okay, this is clearly history. This is clearly parable, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right. Right.
We become familiar with the genre.
Vincent, thanks very much. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. I'm going to save you from a lot of mean tweets and stuff. The Office is a British television show that was turned into an American television show.
I was referring to the American
version. I just don't want you to get in trouble with any of our brothers and sisters in the United Kingdom.
The American version. Yeah. If it was David Brent and it was the British version, A, I wouldn't have been able to understand it. I had to watch the British version with subtitles because I missed 50% of the jokes. Like, what did I say?
Let's go to Montana now. Paulson,
I appreciate it though. Thank you, Sai.
Okay, yeah. I'm just trying to help you. That's all. Divine Mercy Radio. Luke listening on Divine Mercy Radio in Paulson, Montana. You are next. Go ahead, Luke, with your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hello, Father Mike. Hi there, Sai.
Hi.
Thanks for having me
on
the show.
We're happy to have
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
6 feet above ground, man. Hope you guys are doing well. My question is 4.5 because I'm sitting down. My question is about reading scripture in large doses. What happens to me when I sit down to read the Word of God? If I don't have something in mind specifically that I'm already planning to read, I'll just open myself up to God and the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to look at today? Because there's a lot there. And yeah. I will receive from the Lord, like Romans chapter 6 or Galatians 4, Matthew 5, John 20, Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read it. And then as it settles into my soul, oftentimes due to the utter profundity of the nature of the Word of God, I don't keep reading a whole lot after that. and I'll just kind of have some quiet time and kind of deepen my interior life based on what God wanted me to read that day. And so I find myself not reading big chunks of scripture because of the immensity of what it is I'm digesting, because, you know, it is the word made flesh is Jesus. So as this translates to me from, you know, bringing God into yourself, like in the Eucharist and spending time after receiving communion, dwelling on what it is who just happened to you, the same thing happens to me when I read scripture, and rightly so, I suppose. But as a consequence of that, I don't get through a whole lot of it in one dose. And I just wanted you to maybe comment on that.
Oh, yeah, that's such a great question. And also, not only is it a great question, but thank you for your testimony, like to that sense of like, here is God who draws you to his word. Like he speaks to you in order to speak to you. And the fact that not only are you attentive, but also responsive is, I think that's pretty edifying, not only for me, but I'm guessing it's edifying for everybody else listening to you. So thank you for that. That's just really such a gift. I agree. I think that a lot of times I have to, that's one of the reasons why I will typically pray with, when I'm praying with scripture, I would typically pray with the daily mass readings because they're small, they're short, right? And they've been selected, and I will go and say, okay, this is going to be five verses long. And I'm going to, like you said, just, I'm going to sink into it, and I'm going to let it sink into me. And I'm not going to rush to the next thing. I don't want to keep going. Other times I'll get to the other times in a second, but sometimes just like, no, as a daily prayer practice for me, I will just pray with those daily mass readings. And even sometimes I'll just choose one of them. Like here's the Old Testament, here's the new response, and we have the New Testament. I will oftentimes just choose one and say, I'm just going to sit with this, because like you said, it can be too much sometimes. Now, at the same time, there have been numerous times where I will say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just expose myself and let it kind of wash over me. So I have an audio Bible, not the podcast, but of the New Testament. It's like a dramatized version that put out by, I think, Ignatius Press. And a number of times I've said, you know what, I'm just going to go for a walk and I'm going to listen to the entire Gospel of John. I just want to take it in at mm-hmm. once. You know, I just want to, and not like there's things that I'm going to mine out of it, but sometimes I just want the story to be proclaimed to me. And I think sometimes like, you know, like that, like I want to read all of James, not just, you know, James chapter 1 or James 3 or something. I just want to read the whole thing. And that's a different kind of prayer, but I would just completely affirm what you're talking about in the sense of, yeah, sometimes it's Romans 6, let's read the whole thing. And sometimes it's like, wow, the first word stopped me and I just need to be here because he's already speaking to me and I don't want to run off to the next thing.
I'm going to keep going, Luke, and I hope that that's helpful to you because I just realized we've got lots and lots of folks on the line, and I want to get folks on with Father Mike Schmitz. So let's take a little bit early break, Nick. We'll do we'll be gone 60 seconds. We'll come back, and then we can just devote the rest of the show to people asking questions of Father Mike Schmitz, who's doing The Bible in a Year, the podcast that everybody's doing and you should be doing as well. We'll be right back.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Answers Live. Father Mike Schmitz, our guest. Father does lots and lots of things, but I'll just keep stressing this one because I'd like everybody in the world to do it. The Bible in a Year. It's gotten started. It's gotten going. It can't be more than 11 days in because the year's not more than 11 days old. So if you want to do the Bible in a Year, you can, while you do your walk or while you wash the dishes, or if you're like me, while you sit lazily in a chair, you'd like to do it, you can join in. Just put in Father Mike Schmitz, The Bible in a Year. Right now, we got a whole bunch of folks on the line, and I don't want to be rude to people. I want to get to as many as I can. So let's go to Chilliwack, Canada. Watching on YouTube is Derek. Derek, thanks so much for your call from Canada. Go ahead with your question for Father.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to.
Absolutely.
Quick comment. My wife and I have been looking for churches. I mean, we've been in a ton of churches, Protestant churches. We found ourselves in the Catholic Church, and I am struggling. So I have to say, I'm a little bit disappointed in some of the things that's going on and just kind of the direction that I see things. And this is where my question derives from. If I see a lot of the churches, including the Catholic Church, looking at the Bible more from a poetic form and a genre form. I'm just curious as to what's going to stop, or is there an interpretation that's going to say that Jesus' resurrection is just interpretive as well?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. Is that the full question?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Thank you, Derek. No, phenomenal question. I'm so grateful for your call, for your question, and for the fact that you're allowing the Lord to pull you and to search and to say, no, it needs to be true. I'm looking for truth. And I can only believe in something if it's true. And the fact is, the Bible, we look at the genres and the literary genres and look at the intention of the author, all under the are all based off the foundation that this is the word of God. So this is the word of God in the words of men. And that there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like the Bible in the entire world when it comes to truth, when it comes to being inspired by God himself. So it is absolutely true. There could never, ever be a Catholic who would be faithful to the Lord and be faithful to the word of God who could ever deny the reality, the physical reality of a physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead. There have been people who have challenged that, obviously. There was this movement started, 150, 200 years ago? Rudolf Bultmann was one of the first. He was a Lutheran theologian. You might have heard of him in the past when it comes to scripture scholar. And he really charted a horrible course for a lot of scripture study. He was part of, or he instituted, I think he might have been the father of the demythologizers. And the demythologizers were those who looked through scripture and said, we don't believe that this could actually literally happen, like miracles. So the feeding of the 5,000, that just doesn't happen. Therefore, it was more likely that this was a miracle of sharing or something like this. And there were a number of Catholic theologians and even probably some Catholic pastors who might have been caught up in that wave of the demythologizers and that sense of saying, well, maybe it didn't quite happen. But as you know, the word of God says, if Jesus is not risen from the dead, if he's not risen from the dead, we're the most pitiable of all human beings because we've staked our lives on this claim that Christ has conquered death. And so I want to assure you that when it comes to denying miracles, when it comes to denying the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this is an article of faith that will never be denied by any faithful Catholic. The church will never, ever get to the point of saying that we've understood the Bible so fully now that we do away with miracles. As we mentioned to Vincent, the first caller, that there are many things that could be simply spiritual, but there are many, many things that are absolutely, they first need to be taken as completely literal, and the resurrection is one of them. Hopefully, I am not being too emphatic about this, but I just want to let you know, Derek, that the church will never deny the resurrection. And if anyone does, they are literally seeking heresy, and the church would have to condemn that.
Derek, does that help you?
Yeah, I'll have to meditate on it and really think it over and just keep going from there.
Well, if I could just add slightly to what Father Mike said, just to amplify it, this is something we struggle over in the Catholic Church, and we're still working this out. So you will run into many Catholics who are quite confused about this, many of whom went to the same university I went to and had the same theology professors I had. Right. So that's why we need you, Derek. That's why we need you. So come on in. I'm going to go to another caller. However, I want to let everybody that I can get on with Father Mike. Let's go to Janet in Calhoun, Georgia, watching on YouTube. Janet, delighted to have you. Go ahead with your question for Father Mike.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Janet.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. No, you're fine. Go ahead. Hi. Sorry. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Sorry. Okay, my question is, well, I have these kids at work who always like to come up to me and ask me about the Bible and religious stuff, and they asked this week if there's proof that aliens existing, because I don't know if y'all heard about the government releasing some files last year, a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, we're very up on any alien stuff that comes out. We saw the videos, we've read the reports, mm-hmm. so we are totally down with that. So your question about the aliens is what?
Yeah, that they're basically asking me if would that make like the Bible another fiction book because it never said anything about aliens existing. So basically like the creation story not being true.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Janet.
Great.
Father?
Great question. Yeah, no, that's a great question. The Bible also does not talk about, doesn't mention dinosaurs either. And we know that dinosaurs are real and that the existence of dinosaurs, the finding of, you know, fossils doesn't disprove the Bible because that wasn't the intent of Scripture was to tell us about life before human beings. It wasn't necessarily the intent of the Bible isn't to tell us about life in other planets or in other solar systems at all. And so if there was the discovery of life and proving of even intelligent life and other parts of the universe, that would be incredible. It'd be amazing, but it wouldn't impact the story of Scripture at all, because the story of the Bible is the story of salvation, which is the story of how God made this world good, made us as rational creatures good in his image and likeness, and how we broke the world and broke our relationship with him, and then how he restored that relationship by calling a people and by giving us his son and drawing us into that relationship. So it's the story of how God has saved us in this world, and it doesn't have anything about any other world because that wasn't the point of the story. So wouldn't to discover intelligent life on other planets would be awesome, as I said, but it wouldn't contradict, and it wouldn't cause me at least to have any issue as far as what's real now, because this means like, wow, there's just more. And that makes sense because God is the God of more. And so like for him to create other beings in his image and likeness, that's amazing. That's incredible. I mean, just even look at this world, like this one planet with the abundance of different kinds of life forms that are on this planet that we will never, ever discover because there's so many of them. And if we discover a new life form at the bottom of the ocean, say, what does that do to my faith? It just reaffirms the fact that God is a God of abundance. He's a God of creativity. He's a God of life. He's a God of more.
And you know what, Janet, I'm going to leave it there because there are still so many on the line for Father Mike, and we want to get to them. So I hope that was helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. Let's go to Anthony in Boston, Massachusetts, watching on YouTube. Anthony, go ahead with your question for Father Mike Schmitz. Did I click the wrong button? Anthony, are you there with us?
Oh, hello. My bad. I was on mute. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We're happy to have you. Go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. Father Mike, I just want to say I'm praying for you on this journey of reading the Bible. I love your book, Made for Love. And
thank you,
Anthony. I'm really grateful for this chance to ask you questions. So my question is, how do you suggest I motivate my family to read the Bible? And how can I inspire them to consider giving this podcast a chance?
Yeah, wow. That's a great question. And Anthony, thank you. Thank you so much. Gosh, it's incredible to hear from you. And just even hearing your voice, just that care for your family and your love for the Lord and how much he loves you. It's such a mystery of our motivation and what captures our heart and what captures our minds, what captures our imagination when it comes to the Lord. So how can you help inspire your family? Well, here's a couple initial thoughts. I know that my family members, one of the things that they will do is they will have a podcast playing when their kids get in the car. I will have people ride with me and I'm like, oh, have you heard this one? Like, check this out. And I'll just give someone a sample. I give them a dose, just give them like a little shot in the arm. And if they're interested at all in it, they'll be like, oh, well, how do I get that? So I always start off with my greatest hits. Like, so if I have been listening to a podcast and I'm like, oh, this was so fascinating, that's what I'm going to send to someone else. I'm not going to send them the boring one. Maybe we get to number 7, like where it's like all the things again and again I was mentioning earlier at the beginning of the hour. Maybe it's the story of, you know, the second day of creation where we have God making male and female. Maybe it's the third day where we have like the original sin entering the world. Maybe it's whatever you think I think is captivating to say, would you listen to this? This is just really captivating for me in a way that costs them nothing and they have to risk nothing, but it could whet their appetite. Beyond that, it's going to be a mystery of God's grace that captures their hearts. I don't know if that helps or if that answers. Really good question.
Anthony?
Thank you. That really does help. My dad listens to podcasts all the time, so I'll have to have to send one that I think will resonate.
Great, Anthony. Thank you very, very much.
Anthony.
I got to go now to Omaha, Nebraska. Becca, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio 102.7 FM. Becca, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi. I have been challenged by one of my Protestant friends with apologetics in the Bible and sola scriptura. And I think the hardest thing so far has been there's so many differences between Protestants and Catholics that I kind of don't know where to start. When I heard about this podcast, I thought this was a great place to start. And I was curious if you were going to mention sola scriptura and how to defend or debunk that, or if you could speak on that right now.
Great question. So good. When we get to the parts of scripture that will, I think will require like more of a commenting on the need for tradition or the need for more than scripture alone, then I definitely will. I don't know if I have any immediate plans to talk about that in the course of the next upcoming, you know, months, I guess, when it comes to the first episodes of the Bible in the year. But I will say this, when it comes to the doctrine of sola scriptura, it is fascinating in some ways how how quickly you can ask the question. So if I believe that the Reformation was founded on the two principles of sola scriptura, scripture alone, and sola fide, faith alone, the question I get to ask is, okay, sola scriptura, a scripture alone is a rallying cry of the Protestant Reformation that the sole rule of faith is the Bible. The question, first question we get to ask in response is, okay, where is that first principle essentially? Where is that first important fundamental principle? Where is that in the Bible? So if I'm going to claim that the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith, I need to be able to point out where in the Bible says the Bible alone is the sole rule of faith. And so a lot of times people will point to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and say that, well, it says the Bible is useful for correction and teaching and refutation and in growth and all in holiness. See, that's true. But that doesn't say that the Bible is the only rule of faith, and doesn't say the Bible is the only good thing that helps us correct and reprove and teach and help grow in the faith. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that the church is the pillar and foundation of faith. And so it seems to be that, and also St. Paul in Thessalonians, he says that hang on to the traditions that you were taught, whether by word of mouth or in writing. And he points to the fact that, okay, 1 Timothy 3, that the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And secondly, that hold on to the traditions that you were taught, whether by word of mouth, oral tradition, or by scripture that were written down. And so we recognize that there is a greater rule of faith than scripture. So first question is, where does it say in the Bible, the Bible's the rule of faith? And secondly, the Bible does say the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. And then thirdly, you can say, okay, if the church, if the scripture is the sole rule of faith, where did we get the Bible?
Becca, thanks. Wow. It took us right up to the end there, Father Mike. We could do hours and hours with you, but thanks for doing it with us. The Bible in a Year is available now. Just type it in your search engine. The Bible in a Year, Father Mike Schmitz. You'll find it. Join it. Have a great year. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you all. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Coming up next, Scott Hahn. We're going to talk politics, but not in the way that you hear politics talked about on TV. We're going to talk about the relationship between civilization and religion. And the question is, can we have a civilization if we don't have true religion? Right back with that after this on Catholic Answers Live.